Let's hear from Genesis chapter 1 together.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light.
Let us pray together. Father God, thank you very, very much for the gift of Jesus. Thank you that we can come together tonight to celebrate that. Bless us as we share together, and bless our conversation, and bless our focusing on you. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Please have a seat. Well, you're very, very welcome to Headington Baptist Church tonight. I see there's a lot of guests here. Welcome. Afterwards, we hopefully you'll be able to stay and enjoy some refreshments with us, and we'll get to know you and you can get to know us. It's lovely to have you here. Thank you for coming. Just to say, if there is a fire, there are an exit in this corner, there's an exit in that corner, there's an exit where you came in, there's one through the court hall there. So there's four ways out for you, so that's where you can go. And the toilets are underneath if you go down the stairs that way. So that's where you've got to go to. But by and large, I trust our service will run through as it's laid out here without too much interruption. We have some lovely music to sing together. We have some beautiful pieces of performance. We've got a bit of drama. And we'll be thinking a little bit about Jesus as the Word of God. So that's our evening together. So let's carry on, and we're going to hear scripture before we sing our next song. So if I can ask, please, Kay to come up and read a little passage from John chapter 1.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet, to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Margaret. Please have a seat. And Margaret will read to us and begin to go through the story of the birth of Jesus for us.
This reading is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, and it's verses 26 to 38, and it's taken from the Good News Bible. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to a town in Galilee named Nazareth. He had a message for a young woman promised in marriage to a man named Joseph, who was a descendant of King David. Her name was Mary. The angel came to her and said, "Peace be with you. The Lord is with you and has greatly blessed you." Mary was deeply troubled by the angel's message, and she wondered what his words meant. The angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary. God has been gracious to you. You will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High God. The Lord God will make him a king, as his ancestor David was, and he will be king of the descendants of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary said to the angel, "I'm a virgin. How can this be?" The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and God's power will rest on you. For this reason, the Holy Child will be called the Son of God. Remember your cousin Elizabeth. It is said that she cannot have children, but she herself is now 6 months pregnant, even though she's very old. For there is nothing that God cannot do." "I am the Lord's servant," said Mary. "May it happen to me as you have said." And then the angel left her.
Joseph Steen will continue to read to us the story of the birth of Jesus as we find in Matthew's Gospel. Thank you.
This was how the birth of Jesus Christ took place. His mother Mary was engaged to Joseph, but before they were married, she found out that she was going to have a baby by the Holy Spirit. Joseph was a man who always did what was right, but he did not want to disgrace Mary publicly, so he made plans to break the engagement privately. While he was thinking about this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, descendant of David, do not be afraid to take Mary to be your wife, for it is by the Holy Spirit that she has conceived. She will have a son, and you will name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Now all this happened in order to make what the Lord had said through the prophet come true. A virgin will become pregnant and have a son, and he will be called Emmanuel, which means God is with us. So when Joseph woke up, he married Mary, as the angel of the Lord had told him to do. But he had no sexual relations with her before she gave birth to her son. And Joseph named him Jesus.
Well, we're going to have a little bit of re-staging now, because we have a drama, and it's called Christmas Spirit. So Rebecca Day will read us a little bit more from the Christmas story.
So Joseph went from the Galilean town of Nazareth up to Bethlehem in Judah, David's town, for the census. As a descendant of David, he had to go there. He went with Mary, his fiancée, who was pregnant. While they were there, the time came for her to give birth. She gave birth to a son, her firstborn. She wrapped him in a blanket and laid him in a manger, because there was no room in the hospital.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Please do have a seat. Thank you. Well, we're going to, if I could have my PowerPoint up, please. Thank you. You'll have seen the adverts with this graphic here with the famous line from that poem, "'Twas a night before Christmas," and an empty stable. And this has been something I've been reflecting on this Christmas time. Any of you Roman Catholic or High Anglicans in here tonight? Do we have any of our friends from the Catholic Church with us tonight? Any? If you go to a Catholic church, you'll find that they have just a far more ordered approach to Christmas. So I was talking to our neighbour across the road there, the nun in the priory, and she tells me they have no decorations up in their priory until Christmas Eve, because it's not Christmas yet. And you know, similarly, you can look at other practices. So they won't bring in their wise men until it's 12 days after Christmas, isn't it? Epiphany, something like that. That's probably a bit early, actually. It probably came quite a bit later, maybe a couple of years later. But they observe this discipline of the flow through Christmas. And I think there's merit in that, isn't there? But it raised for me a question. It got me thinking. You know, the night before Christmas, there's lots of things missing from the scene. But what is there of real importance that's missing from the world the night before Christmas? You know, we've had 2,000 years of just being used to Christmas happening and the whole story. But what was there not there the night before the first Christmas? So what was missing from our world the night before the first Christmas, which has been present ever since? And I had that in that little drama, that the conclusion I came to is Christmas spirit. Christmas, you can't have Christmas spirit without having that first Christmas. You know, it's fascinating, isn't it? I was driving down the road the other night, and I had local radio on, and there was an advert for some local charity. Some youngsters were raising money for rough sleepers, and they said, as their little slogan, it said, "Kindness isn't just for Christmas." I thought, actually, that's interesting, isn't it? That somehow we associate kindness with Christmas, and whether we go to church or don't go to church, whether we know about faith or not, whether we believe it or not, we've got that association in our culture. We've got that kind of echo in our culture of Christmas. It has somehow to do with kindness. Then there's this classic. What's this one then? Who's seen it? Any boys and girls seen it? No? Do you know the story? Yeah. This Victorian boss who was really cruel to his workers. He ground them down. He wanted their hours. He wouldn't let them even have time off on Christmas. And grudgingly, he gave them half a day off. But he said they had to come in early the next day, didn't he? And he worked them to the bone to try and get everything out of them he could. And he had no compassion at all. And then he was confronted with the spirit of Christmas past, the spirit of Christmas present, and the spirit of Christmas future. And it becomes compassionate and kind and gracious. And you know, some of the scholars who study Dickens, they're saying, we wonder if this is just a Christmas story, or is this a religious allegory? Well, I can tell you very confidently that it definitely is a religious allegory. I found this book last summer in my travels up in Northumberland on the bookshelf. And this is a book by Dickens, which was written just for his children. It was published just posthumously after he died. And he wrote this for his children to explain to them the Christian faith. It's actually the last book ever published by Dickens after he died, because he wrote it in his lifetime just for them. So he was a Christian man, and he wanted to say, actually, there's something about Christmas that should change the way we treat other people. It should change the kind of employers we are. What's this one? Pardon? Band-Aid, yeah. Band-Aid. When did that start? 85. 84. Last century. Bob Geldof. Pardon? 86 was it? Let's tell you. I've got it down here. Settle the arguments. 1984. How much did it raise in the first year? $8 million. $8 million. Here's some of the lyrics. It's Christmas time, there's no need to be afraid. At Christmas time, we let in the light and we banish shade. In our world of plenty, we can spread a smile of joy. And in our world of plenty, sorry, throw your arms around the world at Christmas time. And then the chorus is, feed the world, let them know it's Christmas. So there's something echoing around in our culture, isn't there? That we know, whether or not we're churchgoers or believers or whatever, there's something we know that there's a link between what Jesus did and caring for people outside the world, people we've never seen, never known, just complete mysteries to us. And somehow that there's a link in our minds, in our culture, between that and Christmas. Now, you might have noticed that... here we go. So, just those three. So, we've got, so far, linked with Christmas. Feeling compassion, kindness, helping the poor, reaching out to strangers in need, helping people who don't deserve our help, but just because they're human beings, sharing what you have. All those things have come out of this business of Christmas. So it begs for me the question, what on earth happened at that first Christmas to start all those lovely attitudes and actions? You might have noticed above my head, there's a phrase, enjoy the echo. You see, I reckon that we all enjoy the echo of what Jesus did. In our world, we enjoy the echo. We appreciate the fact that there's kindness, that echo of those attitudes to the poor is there. We appreciate those echoes. We appreciate the fact that there's the echo of what Jesus started. Somehow we know it. Somehow it's in our culture. And somehow at Christmas time, it's appropriate to say, let's have Christmas spirit. So what happened? Well, I would like to suggest that in Christmas, we have a new vision of God and therefore of goodness and of real love. We see that God's love gets involved. God isn't like some wealthy person staying safely in his very luxurious, comfortable mansion, lobbing pound notes over the fence to people who are poor. God is the sort of God who comes out from his mansion and gets his hands dirty to really help. That's one message of Christmas. God's love takes the first step. He takes the initiative. He doesn't wait for us to come to him. He says, I'm going to come to you first. I'm going to show you I love you first and then hope you love me back. But I'm going to love you first. God's love has no favorites. He chose just a poor couple in a very poor situation. He didn't go for the powerful or the famous or the wealthy. He just went for very ordinary people. There's no favorites with God. And God's love involves sacrifice. If we want to give something, we have to pay something. If we want to give something, we have to pay something. As simple as that, isn't it, parents? At Christmas time, if you want to give something, you have to pay something. True? And there's a beautiful passage of scripture which Paul, the Apostle Paul, wrote about Jesus. He says, in your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, by being made in human likeness, and by being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him a name that is above every name. You know, in the whole story of Jesus, his birth, his life, his death, his resurrection, he shows that he's a humble God who steps down to bless us. And we enjoy that echo. You know, in the reading we had, the second reading we had, it called Jesus the Word. John, the friend of Jesus, described Jesus as the Word of God, Because Jesus communicates that thing uniquely to our world. Jesus uniquely communicates to our world that God actually comes in and loves us in that way. We hear the echo down the ages, but I want to give you an invitation at the end of this word tonight. I want you to enjoy the echo you have. I love Christmas. I really am a big fan of Christmas celebrations. I love the celebrating and the feasting. I love the lights, which speak of God, the light coming into this world. I love the gift giving, the echo of God giving free gifts. I love being together with people we love and care for, like family and friends. It speaks of God's love. I love all those aspects of Christmas. Enjoy it. But I would like to invite you this Christmas to meet the original word. You know, if you have an echo, there has to be an original word, doesn't there? I don't know how many of you have enjoyed some spectacular echo somewhere. I was in the Liverpool Cathedral early this year, and there was an archway there. And if you spoke at one end of the archway, the sound got carried around. You could hear it at the other end of the archway. But there was no sound there unless there was an original word. And what I want to suggest to us, if these good things are in our world as the echo, then there was that original word. And I would like to invite you to meet Jesus, that original word, this Christmas. And I'm going to put a little prayer up here, because maybe there's some here who would like to know this God this Christmas. And what I've put up here, and I'll pray it through, and if it says something which is true for you, then please just pray it quietly in your own heart. Lord God, thank you for being such a loving Father. Thank you for sending your word. I want to know you. Forgive me, heal me, and bring me into your family. I will follow you and live your way of love. Amen. There's a beautiful invitation to know that original word that echoes in our world today. We're going to hear a beautiful song called Noel. moment and sing, O Little Town of Bethlehem. And it has those words in it, O Holy Child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sins and enter in, be born in us today. And I would pray that perhaps for some of us this Christmas time, we would be thoroughly enjoying all these echoes of this wonderful, wonderful event. But I would love that some of us would find that Jesus can be born in us this Christmas time. So let's stand and sing, O Little Town of Bethlehem. Thank you. On some of these things we've heard about in prayer. Thank you, Chris.
Let's pray. As we reflect on James's talk, we thank you for all the echoes of Christmas. Thank you for the time we can enjoy with family and friends. Grant safety to those traveling. For those who are ill or will be on their own, may they know your presence with them. Thank you for charities such as Christians Against Poverty, who throughout the year reach out to support and help the poor and those struggling with debt. But most of all, thank you that it was the Word, Jesus, who was before and is behind the echo. Thank you, Jesus, that you took the initiative, became flesh and dwelt among us. Be born in each one of us today, we pray. Amen. In our first carol, Hark the Herald Sing, we sang those words, peace on earth. And so we pray for peace in the world, and in particular for those areas torn apart by war. For peace in Europe and Great Britain over the ongoing Brexit negotiations. For peace in this country amongst our leaders in Parliament. For peace in Oxford. For peace here in Headington. And for peace in each of our hearts and minds this Christmas. Because we ask this in the name of Jesus, who is the Prince of Peace. Amen. Amen. Finally, let us remember and reflect over this Christmas time on the words spoken by James and on the words of the carols we have sung tonight. Let them not just be familiar words, but by your Holy Spirit, write them on each of our hearts. O Holy Child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. Thank you that the Bible tells us that you loved the world so much that you gave your one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Thank you that Christmas is about the birth of Jesus. Jesus who wants to enter in, to be born in each one of us today. We pray that we might all receive this offer of the greatest gift we can have this Christmas, the gift of eternal life. Amen.
Before we sing our closing carol, can I just say that there's many things going on here all through the year for all sorts of different age groups. Please use our website. We have the weekly activities, like our youth activities and our children's activities and our lunch club and the toddler groups. So please have a look on the website to see those. We have activities for which are less frequent, like the Wow Science events, which comes up roughly six times a year. There's one in January. I think it's the 24th of January. Is that right? I'm trying to remember the date there. 24th? 24th of January. If you're interested in just that aspect of enjoying science and wondering at God's world, please come to that. It's on our website. But most of all, please feel free to stay behind after our service tonight. Have a drink of some sort and some mince pies, and please, let's get to know you. That'd be lovely. Thank you. Now, I need to thank people who have taken part in this service tonight. We've had some wonderful people read to us. We've got a lovely band playing. We've had some beautiful singing and the drama. So thanks to everybody who's made this such a great evening. Thanks to the guys on the sound and visuals as well, and etc. So thank you very much for making this a lovely evening. Let's stand. Let's stand and sing, O Come All Ye Faithful.
We're running a small section for this. From the Pentatonics version, my kids, I really love it. So I reckon you would sing along, and I'll just collect
it and sing
along. It goes like
this, it goes, O come my faithful, O come my faithful, O come my faithful to Bethlehem. O come my faithful, O come my faithful, O come my faithful to Bethlehem. Come,
just pray for us. Father God, I pray that for each family here, each individual here, each person here as they go into this Christmas season, that we would really have a wonderful experience of these lovely echoes of Christmas, that there would be great pleasures in our Christmas and great pleasures in the people we associate with, and you bring peace into the gatherings we're part of. And Father, we thank you for those gifts. And now as we go, we pray that your blessing would rest upon us and go with us. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Longer pause before I got up. But that was lovely. It was lovely. Good job, men. Who you got here? Thank you. Good evening, sir. Oh, yes. Yes. Yes.
A couple of years ago, there was one.
Okay.